This is a production of Cornell University.
Four or five snaps, right? In the game.
Yeah, pretty much.
Table, your name, your information,
We'll close open microphone and move into the presentation from the 25 Live group. Come up.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry.
Good afternoon, everybody. I am Barbara Romano, and I'm the Director of Marketing and Event Services here at the University, and I'm also the co-chair of the 25 Broad Academic and Event School Project Team.
I'm Ed Sussaro, the project manager for the Academic and Event Services Implementation Project.
Hello everyone, I'm Lucy Washington,
So we wanted to give you an update, and I want to again thank you for inviting us here to talk to you about the different project. This project is one of the ways to discuss and see how we can start in the vendor selection process. And over the last year, we've been coming through data gathering and collection implementation. But this project is more than just putting a new tool, it's also looking at university policy. And make amendments to that policy and then see how we can use tools to implement university policy. And also take a look at business processes and potentially have a streamline. The objectives for this project were to improve the scheduling for both classes and events. In terms of giving people access to the information we need about spaces on campus, being able to see availability for spaces on campus, having automated workflow that once the student submits a request, there's the right person, you don't have to know who the right person is, having web pages that will support this process and give an appropriate request or all the information that they need to know in order to request an event. We also are looking to enhance the user experience with a nice web interface and user interface. The system will integrate with other university systems like PeopleSoft. Very important for us to be able to provide robust analytic reporting as well as the ability to use data and systems to drive strategic decision making around space at the institution. And lastly, to also provide standardized space data and a standardized catalog for discussing space and also having consistent information about space across the system across the recent progress, well, not exactly recent, we've had an ongoing dialogue with colleagues, so we started out with a listening tour. And then we've gone back to colleagues several times talking to their requests, and we're continuing that engagement. We posted a number of town halls for staff. We have another town hall coming up on February 28th to talk about the event request process. We've surveyed hundreds of classrooms across the institution over the course of the last summer. So we've got very recent information and photos of spaces in the system. We've interviewed event planners to capture the challenges that they're facing on a day in day out basis, planning complex events. So lots of progress, but still lots to do. Our go-live date is the summer of 2019, and we're continuing to work on our data, as noted here. So we had an initial load of data, very big aggregate information across all of the spaces that we had in the system. We were aided by students who did a lot of the survey of spaces across campus. over the summer. And students also helped us with some other ways to help them out of the bar.
So we had students interviewed by the IT team that was trying to develop the tool to embed the event registration form, currently form. This is from a process. We have students that really plan some of the larger events, where they need multiple spaces, maybe over the course of a couple of days. I want to just let you know that we've been engaging students. As I mentioned, we had a number of students help us survey hundreds of students. Close to 700 to 800 rooms across campus really went in and they documented room features and the setups and that, information capacity. As we're trying to clean up the data, just a process, part of this process. And we will be looking to probably have a few students, a handful of students to help us test the system once it's ready.
So we're continuing, we still have some more location information, outdoor spaces, and one of the things that we're going to system, which I think is kind of a first now, campus actually being able to have outdoor spaces, doctoring the system and requestable through the system. We're also updating organizations, resources, students, so a lot of other data is in progress. We worked with the vendor to figure out how to configure the system to meet Cornell's needs, and we actually have an instance now configured for Cornell business processes with Cornell data that we've begun or are about to begin with testing on. And then lastly, we have been working with the event management planning team to design the event request, new event request process that will be occurring in the system. And with that, I'll send you to Barb to talk about the event registration process.
So, as we talked about the event registration form currently, many of you know that that's in a separate database. So, sometimes when there's space, like campus, you can go into R25 and have access to look at some rooms to reserve those rooms, and then you have to go to this other tool to file an event registration form. And the form is all text, so in that process, trying to interpret the data from over a 2-year period, many people refer to a room in multiple ways. So there's a lot of cleanup trying to standardize what the rooms are and what rooms are involved in this process. So what we hope the outcome will be, and when you go into this tool to request space, it will lead you on to questions right in that tool instead of having to leave that tool. We have been working with the event management planning team to gain efficiency into the process because the question and the form, the questions on the event registration form, hopefully it will be with radio button included in that radio page, depending on how they're interested. So what we really see is the benefits of this is really streamlining to a one-stop shop for requesters. All the data for the event can be in one place for schedulers and approvers, which will be nice. Better reporting and analysis of the event data. Right now, it's very encouraged to pull together sponsor data and the event data and standardize or understand the overall usage. We were also charged with streamlining the process of the administration project. Requesters will see availability of spaces scheduled in the tool. They see the availability, you'll be able to request, that doesn't necessarily the scheduler still will determine whether the requester will be allowed access to that space. So, automating all of the workflow for the event, I think many of you may not want to have all the touches that the event registration works almost every couple of times a year, and then it's over 3,500 CRS process. So, what this will also enhance the venue that hosts events requiring meter acts needs to be in the school to be requestable. So, hopefully, they will pull down the screen and see if we're going to be able to click on that. Some cases, spaces in the school are not required by policy to be in the school. So, then you may have to reach out to the scheduler of that space to utilize it, but if it has come up in our event registration form that over the past few years, I don't believe we capture all that data in the system. There will be a visual indicator in the school that will tell you that that space may not be reserved in that room, so someone may be serving, you may be one of the current facilitation area that they may use in another school to actually schedule that within the conference or the department. And then we are continuing the conversation and discussing the process of the education with the colleges and staff. The next thing I want to just talk about one of the policies to the bullet points that the university does have an access to space for events. And then with that nonprofit event hosted by any Cornell related agreement, students register to the organization. Not only for the one who points to have heard the you know, faculty or staff will be able to schedule or request space through this one. And then this talks about how we also confirm the availability and ability to schedule event spaces Monday through Friday, 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. And then on weekends during the academic semester and on weekends during the breaks and summer. So I think over the years, we've heard that those are the really trouble spots for people to direct their time to the space, but this policy is in place, so we just actually did this well for a lot of people. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Casey, who's just going to talk about the feedback and what we're hearing from the moderator. So as you mentioned, we've had a number of conversations around the college of New York, we've been listening to concerns and publicizing some policies that some of the new members just covering the virus due to conversations we had. So we are trying to raise awareness that there's an intention to make spaces more available. But we thought it would be very valuable to share with you some of the concerns we're hearing out in the college and departments, so that you can hopefully spread the word that these are the concerns and hesitations that are being to request that spaces be hidden or heavily restricted. So to the extent that some of these things can be prevented or behavior changed, we're hoping to approach the situation tonight. Just make it a better scheduling experience for everyone. So, just some of the top level concerns that we're hearing. One is just about the volume of requests. And we do have a number of people whose job only includes 25% of their position with supposed to be dedicated to processing events. That is very specific for all spaces. There's going to be a deluge. They don't have the resources for quality. And we several that you see here are our initial attempts to alleviate some of these concerns and talk about how we might approach some kind of compromise that allows for possible space. So we've suggested everywhere you see best practices documentation. The suggestion really is to just put good information out on the website. About how to approach your request in the way that's most likely to be in this situation. So we're hearing about requesters for the standing of schedulers, and so a shopping situation where they only need one day, but they request 12, and you just open up one of those, right? So those create a physical better imbalance, so the request would be a best practice and documentation recommendation, which is absolutely they're looking at attestation, part of the request process, where every requester will be asked to acknowledge that they will modify policy and treat English resources, whether that's personnel or space, or personal respect. So we point that out to the department as well, but there will be, just a, an assumption about basic comments in the informal community. There are open closed hours in the system, like a functionality module where, the concerns of the requests coming in for space is not even open. I really want to see a request that goes 1.5 to 9, just on the technicality of the scope of the open. So, we would inform them that they can use open closed hours to prevent those requests from being. We will be keeping that in data, so I'm sure that's not used. So, we'll make sure there are open hours. Finally, the flexibility discussion process. So, for those very special cases, we are very very special cases, for a number of reasons. Maybe it's the equipment in the room, maybe it's the difficulty of access, right? So, we're very different. Reasons for the departments to want their space not to be accessible, whether it's required by policy or whether it would like to be anonymous with advanced registration process. And the issue is the lending outreach itself can be pursued. So we will be writing a flexibility exception process for spaces just to provide resources. For those spaces that we're learning about that are very questions. The request may be too far in advance is another concern that departments are going to hit with a ton of requests too far in advance, the changing process of requests. So again, it could be in our best practice documentation about the optimal windows to meet the request to have a problem. And we encourage you to go out and look at the access to space or the policy even now. In this tool, there's a 365-day limit for self-service requests. You're going to be able to submit a request and approve in advance of that. By policy and by group size, you can initiate a request for an event followed further. But that is also and then just a couple other concerns. There's only two pages. The other concern is about the decentralized nature of Cornell, right? So there are college-specific policies, college-specific prioritization practices. We are, looking forward to figure out what all of these are, and we're learning that there are a lot of these. And we're going to be working with subgroups to try to standardize to the extent possible the language, the information requested, the policy information put forth, and to make sure that the Department of College policy information that's presented is in line with university policy. So, again, we'll be meeting with the college, I think, for our first effort in terms of the group meeting will be February 8th, and that'll be an important step in moving forward with this group. And finally, the most frequent concern that we heard, and it was rapidly consistent from unit to unit, it was key process, all process. So every, really, without exception, everyone we met with said, there was concern about student organization needing to be a process. All of these processes. So diversify your diet. So we're really concerned here is about the sexual use of space and trying to be willing to create climate and full disclosure, it wasn't just a regional organization. You know, a lot of politics in our department, you guys took away some of these funds, but also politics. So there's an embedded question there about recourse and the concern really stemming from the fact that the departments are footing the bill for the technology to the upkeep of the state. So that's their concern, is they're putting all this investment in. And it's a leap of faith to open the state out more broadly. So we are reminding them that they are able to use our tax, for example, the advisor of the student board, they can work with the activity office if needed. There is an organizational rating system in the school. Everyone has been referring to the default for a 4-star rating. We want to make you aware that a 5-star rating is possible. You're not assuming the criteria for that. Yeah, coming up with something that's engaged. And then there are ongoing ratings and a rating that is notable because not actually prevent an organization from being able to submit a request. We'll be working with the Chamber of Activities Office and others to develop a process for that organization rating system. But we just want to make you aware that exists, and we'll be having future more conversations about that. And again, it's also covered this way because there are funding sources. Those are the main concerns that we've heard, and again, I just wanted to share this with you. I just want to spread the word that the better care we need in submitting reasonable and rational requests and the better care we take of the safety when we're in them, the more doors that open.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about kind of the next steps that I alluded to earlier. We're working on completing all of the data for the system. There's still lots of things that plan to be finished there. We're going to have stakeholder meetings to walk through the event request process in detail. We've been doing that and continue to do that, and we're still configuring that, and once we have a kind of end-to-end process that we can walk people through and work with them, and we'll do that too. The security, you know, of the roles and access to the system that we can see what is also underway, but needs to do a little bit more review. There's a piece to the event request process, the event registration process that we built, and so we're working with our custom development team to do that. Define reports to the system, which will be an ongoing effort, lots of initial reports will be live, but then it's not until you have a system that's live that people really know what kind of reporting they need quite often. So that'll be an ongoing effort. And we're really right now at the beginning of the testing phase, which will go on from now through early May. And we really are kind of remaining focus of the team. And as we said earlier, we really love to have some students help us with that effort and get the student point of view. Documentation and training is another big piece. Making sure that we've got a good website, a good documentation, training videos, self-service most of the students and the professors would expect. Hopefully the system's well up is under 3-2 and easy to use, but we'll also have some videos on how to, as well as supporting quick guide, quick requester guides, and some other more in-depth documentation. And lastly, you know, having our support model in place in a way for any type of problems or questions to contact the team that the support that they need. And then lastly, we've got some resources that we wanted to share with you. There is a site for the space policies that we've been talking about. That These policies are also linked to from our project website. Our project website is a search just for the one word space to which you'll find the local this presentation as well with the URL. And then if you want to connect with us, we have a mail list that you can send to or an email that's c25y@gmail.edu. So feel free to send questions to that as well. And with that, let's open it up to questions.
I just want to mention, the town halls are actually recorded, so they can be found on the website.
So any questions?
Yeah, so thank you for coming here. And so you said you put the open close hours for buildings on the website. I was wondering if at all possible, maybe in the future, to give students like temporary access to only the times when they sign up, so like the building and the roof. For example, I'm a TA, and even last semester, for office hours, there'd be times when the building is supposed to be open, but it's closed, so it happens to like, hold the front key off out in like a hallway in some other building or something like that through who we were supposed to be in what's open. And the building wasn't open either. So would that be at all possible? I understand that there's like security and accountability or something like that.
It's so different from college to college building. We have a whole website that is devoted to listening. Who's the primary scheduler? Who do you have to talk to? Key access, right? So the open closed hours will be in the school. Viewable space information. I think we have more conversations we've had around building access. Now the primary concern of the schedulers as well. So they can approve a request for after hours, but they're concerned with how to get that information from the building coordinator, whoever it is, make sure that space is open when the requests are getting in. So we don't have a satisfactory answer to that question just yet.
I don't think this is the first thank you very much for coming and presenting all this information. We're really glad that somebody is taking the time to pick something up on campus. I did want to ask you, you talked about pizza boxes, and I was wondering if there's any work that you've done on that. One of the big processes that people can continue to consider in better work is performing that company. But if you consider outlining, I don't know how popular it would be, but I think one of the big problems would be if it was students to put the cycle on garbage bins or not put the pizza boxes, if somebody's got many meetings with pizza boxes at the end. And is there anything that we can use after finding a way to change our disposal methods, maybe having one garbage bin every building? Big enough for pizza boxes or four pizza boxes. Of course, it also gets confusing because most pizza boxes aren't recyclable, the foil or the car. That's the definition.
We joked about finding to design software. Or change something to address that. But I think conversations go on. Some groups, as you know, will just take the boxes right out to the dumpster if they were. Trying to educate and also know
how
the best process to
get into the process. And if dumpster is the best process, we do need to advertise that to students and faculty where these places are. Because until then, you're going to have boxes for the other word, you don't want to fire.
Mike, you want to tackle that? Can we get a
Hi.
again, I just want to say thank you for being here, because I'm just so excited about the work that I've been doing. I have two questions. The first one is about the accessibility session process, as I mentioned. So basically, is every session that is filed for the approved person in the process? For the question, not the question.
So we haven't even designed that process yet, but we did want to try to launch them so that they have a reasonable case. They have a form of an avenue to present that information. So I don't yet know how to do that. We need to get this to the criteria and process. I'm sorry, are you asking about an exception to that? The governance for that process is decent.
Okay, great, thank you. And I have a second question about the organizational rating system that you have to enter the public role of progress. But if the first organization gets through stars, are they going to be blocked out of the next language ever again, or will they be
Again, to be determined, and I would expect that we involve some students and we're taking through this process and what the consequences are for various actions. So, right as of now, there's a 5-star rating, the 4-star default rating, the concept of being on a warning for someone to be here. And at some point, it would be possible to reach a rating of no booking, and that would prevent you from booking. We have not yet determined for how long that would be in place, or if there are actions that could be taken to have that removed. But we divide this and distribute it in the comes to mind. But in our case, we want to make sure it's a fair process. It's a good idea to keep structure around and to have this information available to stakeholders who are taking care of their space and accommodate for us to commit. But we will listen to the process.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. I have two questions. So one is regarding the last time, and also like talk about how we want to deploy into sensors, like through the has also like from the sensors to also like feedback on the system. So I'm wondering like how many one and also like what is that we're serving, like at all, how many meetings will there be, and also when will the meeting be held? Like if you don't have that information yet, like that's fine, but once we have that information, we are going to move on fast if you're more of a question. So just wondering how that works, that numbers.
So as I said, our testing is going to be taking place between now and May. Probably when it comes to we want to get the system to a fairly yes, we're able to teach shape and reflective, you know, of the business process that we intend to implement. And it's at that point we want to student input. It's okay to be less than student time at that point once the system is, you know, good for sure working well and what we want is to the way feedback about to, you know, this is working for you, this is. So probably most likely in the April time frame now, probably I'll just say April for now, but when we have the more exact date, we'll certainly share it with you. And it's probably only going to be over a couple of weeks process, a couple weeks of time to get that feedback.
Thank you. My next question was regarding accessibility. So I know that's come out in following the standards, but I'm just wondering if the conversion has been made to that aspect, and also if there were any obstacles in the system, like what's the matter regarding that?
So, yes, the system has been tested for accessibility. Some deficits were identified. We are working with the vendor and identified that, and it was a roadmap for correcting those things. Some will be corrected in the near term, some in the longer term. The workaround is to have accessibility message for a link for people to get help if they are serious in accessibility issues.
So I think that in the testing process, obviously, it's kind of pulling out people from the assembly who come from a special background, but when you are testing, you get them on and you can do it very easily. Testers come from a very different background that have different capabilities, competition, system, theater, or a shared competition.
Thank you. Everyone, we have a new representative here joining us. Are you ready for your
turn? I'm a white man over there. That's so
good. As well as my personal sense of honor, I do solemnly affirm the fill out yourself worthy as a student elected
representative.
I will engage in open and honest debate in a process where I am guided by truth and fairness. I will never purposefully misrepresent facts in an effort to achieve my goals. If a conflict of interest arises, I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision-making process. I will speak out and voice effectively in the interest of concern and student body. Address the issues of my fellow
students
and strive to improve the quality of life of my
parents.
Welcome to the meeting.
going to go to announcements and reports. Pat, go ahead.
So, anybody that's new to that, if you go to the bottom line, there's a question about spirit diversity. The increase for the spring transition magnets, where we get a session to meet, and then we're going to be coming to the US office, so we're going to be on the over street research plan. So it's going to be here, and it's going to be more available in the lobby tomorrow from 9 to 7. I think it's a really great issue to be able to come out, help you with cancer. So thank you. And we'll have a talk about this and talk to you about it guys.
Yes, you are. Thank you so much. And just to remind everyone, the four positions up for election are two minority and law representatives, one LGBTQ representative, and one third generation student representative. So if you know anyone who wants to be this position, please just go to the meeting.
Who are those positions elected by and for?
They're the whole undergraduate body can vote on this position, and anyone in the undergraduate student body can vote on this position. Savala?
Hi guys, it's just a reminder to sign up for time slot on Sunday for Sunfest. If you can't make it, let me know, and some of you already have, but please do so.
Alright, we'll be moving into business of the day, starting with Resolution 23, providing the guidance of facility better representation by establishing an organizational assessment.
So this is a resolution we discussed last week on Bill Beard's approving it all. And I'm going to pass on the mic to Alvin and Don if you have anything to add. Otherwise, I don't think there were any changes in last week, so I'll make sure.
I just wanted to say thank you again for continuing this work initiative. Specifically through the rules and the strong community comments. Last week, I have spoken with some members of the board that we will be making appropriate changes to the security staff to correct this division. Depending, of course, on the other end. Thank you again.
Is there any dissent for the stage? Is there a dissent for the voting of the group? All those in favor of Resolution 23. All those against, all those in favor, by a vote of 23-0-0, this is done. Members, feel free to join us if you will be considered your return representative for this role. But after, are you a return representative for this role? Okay, so feel free to just join us.
I actually move that we move Resolution 25 to
come before 24, just because we have one of our student reports waiting here. So if anyone's there.
Do you have any questions? I'm the co-facilitator for the Canal Wildlife Service Collaborative, also a member of the Executive Committee of the President's Climate Change Committee, and working with Sam J. Mark. He's a part of the organization for supporting climate change community among the other projects.
Yeah, just to add on to that, the UA and the EA already passed resolution 5012, and we actually ended up on that semester where we got called out for not passing similar resolutions. So I think it's really important that the EA passes the next recommendability, and also to show that we are contributing to the EA in achieving this.
So just to add a little bit more, the resolution on EA really passed actually a year ago, right? So it's really long overdue. And we're planning on taking more initiatives, but we just want to base the future initiatives off of this resolution. So let me know if you have any questions about it.
Mitchell, can you say in one of the groups that you're on with the President's Sustainable Campus, otherwise known as TSC. So is that one of the discussions you described, or is that a bit?
No, so there are three main groups. The TSCC that I sit on, there's the Senior Leadership Climate Action Group, which wrote the report on the. And then there's the Climate Action Advisory Group. And so neither of them are successors of each other. They were groups created for separate purposes. And recently there has been discussion of somehow combining them into one overarching group instead of two separate ones.
So. Right. And I remember that. I saw that what happened. So,
it's in the works.
And are you worried at all that the consolidation?
No, I'm not concerned about that. As far as I know, every structure has students in the from environmental community members to students on campus. And then the assemblies as well, the employees and the university and the
classroom. That's good.
And then there is the something that is there or second.
It's our standard practice to not lose something that is today unless it's urgent or the final meeting is structured.
Yeah. Just because this decision is really a contentious issue, I would ask you that we don't want to have members coming here
We are now in the business of how to act.
My problem is,
I just like a clarification at all. So this is basically a statement of intent. There's no actual, actual item here to a clarification of the situation and all the things and intent to move all of this way. Okay.
I was wondering, do you all have any data on the literacy rate for advocacy?
Yeah, so the literacy rate is kind of hard for you to gauge. But there are just generally that there needs to be an increase of literacy issues among our generation. So I actually did a lot of research trying to ask some very senior members on the definition about the literacy rate, but that was just naturally the situation on an exact number. So I have a specific data.
Yeah, judging a climate literary person is difficult and there's no specific data for Cornell, and as far as I know, other universities. But the Campus Sustainability Office does surveys with incoming students about the importance of sustainability and knowing about it. So I have been finishing some data at some point, and I've actually found out those examples that is.
Okay, so I just wanted to add on that if you have any creative ideas about how to offer the idea of an event or a public demonstration that might raise the rate of climate literacy, please feel free to reach out to any one of us and we can work together.
Right, and also a great suggestion to mention that, you know, if you generally want to work with other environmental committee and also on the show and the work that works for sustainability. And so as, you know, as well as the interest in the operation, I will help make sure that that happens and also like some kind of conversation provision of bylaw to make sure to facilitate that conversation between groups that already work on the issue and, you know, the other because they might play a different role, but there could be a lot of gain from that collaboration, so I want to make sure that happens, so that's my mission.
Yeah, I have two small things, very times. On type of action, this is a lot of I would just make a motion that on line 52, I don't know if it's an extra curriculum that maybe is not going to be able to do that. I mean, extra curriculum activities. It's the intention for it to be curricular, not as a requirement, because we specifically left the term requirement out. It's that they take advantage of the existing classes and campaign on campus. So is that the first one? Oh, great. I was so interested in the
I amend the amendment to actually include changing in by amendment in the environmental to environmental on the last slide. This was not a type of one. Yeah, there's no resolution. I think it's from that stuff all over the need to.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to answer the name.
Don, you got that? Okay. Joe will help that. Her help you with that. Is there any sense to it? All right, no problem. Are you able to do that? Is there any dissent regarding the resolution? All those in favor? All those against, all those abstain, and since this is the sense of the body, we need to be able to speak first. That means all ex-officio representatives as well as general community members. So if you are in favor of passing this resolution, and you're a member of the community, please raise your hand. All right, all those against, all those abstaining, thanks, Matt. this vote passes, and two votes have added to the city, a vote of 25-0. Congrats. Okay, this will be super quick because I'm just going to introduce this today because it is a charter amendment and I can't vote on the rules of this today just since I'm introducing it. So essentially our non-discrimination clause is out of line with year taking the right clause. There's, you know, a couple of protection clauses that we had, they didn't have, or they had that we didn't have, and so this is just adding them. It's not another coordinated on the little thing about, but essentially we had all of them. The three we didn't have was familial status, predisposed genetic characteristics, or domestic violence status. Those are either taking human rights clause and they weren't in arms. And I was like, wow, that could be really important to our non-discrimination clause for both membership of the organization and also funding the organization. That's essentially what it did. Other than that, there are no other substantial changes in the times. But, oh, instead of veteran status, it's now military status. So that kind of gives us this economy. Yeah, those are the four changes in our non-discrimination clause that I thought were important to me. I'll take questions other than that.
Any questions? Yeah, John?
Sure, it's not really a question for you. I know when I was moving the committee, can you explain the assembly on
Yeah, so it was in your state human rights law. I assume it was because of domestic violence, being discriminated in public setting. I suppose it could happen at Cornell if there's a situation where someone in an organization in a relationship and then something happens and they're trying to rejoin and they're like, no, I don't want you. So I think that is something that could happen. But you know, it also makes it human rights law. Sorry? Is there any sense of labeling? This resolution is labeled until next week. Any sense of labeling for executive session? Seeing none, we're now moving to executive session. All members of the committee.
Did you have any sound issues?
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.